Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Listen to me. That's what the prophet Isaiah says to you this morning. He wants you to perk your ears up, and he wants you to listen to his summoning call for all people to listen to his words. Words which were given him by God Almighty. Words Isaiah is quite knowledgeable of, both by God the Father and the prophet, knowing that you are incapable of living up to the Lord's demands. The prophet summons everyone to the house of the Lord to hear his decrees, to hear of his promises, and to hear of his salvation, that by sending of the Messiah, he came for you. Yeah, you have been chosen by the Lord. But why did he bother? Seriously. We've already today confessed our being poor, miserable sinners. This confession itself is an acknowledgement of our being the lowest of the low. Our speaking out loud to ourselves and one another the dejected, despicable, and depressing fact that we cannot keep from sinning. We openly cry out loud, "Oh, help me, O Lord! As one of your chosen people, I need your help." Isaiah speaks about how the Lord had called him from his mother's womb, choosing the prophet to be his instrument, his servant. The Lord gave him his name. The Lord gave him a remarkable ability to speak with power, both law and gospel. But it wasn't just Isaiah that the Lord had chosen. He chose you, too. Even before your mother gave you birth, the Lord saw fit to give you your name, and the Lord prescribed then your duties, that which you're to do. You're to serve him, not as a slave, but as a believer and an inheritor of all the glory, and that you would therefore glorify God above all else. And he commands you to share the good news of him sending his son for the life of the world. Yeah, physically he wants us to go out and tell other people about what Jesus has done for us. Our Old Testament reading said that Isaiah had labored in vain. He had spent his strength for nothing in vanity. Sounds like me. Yet he joyfully declared, "I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." Isaiah understood his standing before the Lord. He had been chosen by God to be his servant, and he was worthy of all the blessings, promises, and gifts from God, and he knew he would have them forever. God has chosen you too to be his servant, not as a miserable slave, okay, but with a purpose to return to him and his holy house those who have turned their backs on him, those who keep trying to make a life for themselves and failing. He wants us to bring back those who have wandered away from the fold of Jesus' flock. Him, Jesus Christ, the true shepherd and redeemer of all mankind. You are to share the gospel with everyone. You're to let them know that the love God has for them, you enjoy it as well. And you're to love yourself as being a partaker of all the benefits of God's wonderful grace, knowing that His grace is indeed sufficient for you, God's dear people, to bask in all that God has done and continues to do for you. And God does this forever and ever and ever. It's this having a personal knowledge of God and His presence, His very presence in your life. This is what the prophet wants you to understand today. Last week we had heard the testimony regarding Jesus' baptism in the Jordan. John the Baptist heartwarmingly declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John knew who he was. What Jesus does next should be of considerable note to us. Jesus calls his first disciples. I beg you to remember who these guys were, okay? They were common folks, you know, like us. Not unlike any other person you might see about on the street, except for today, it's too cold. But those disciples chose to begin following Jesus simply because they heard someone else say, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Jesus asked them then an especially different sort of question. He goes, "What are you seeking?" You know, he knew what they wanted. Just as he knows very well what your needs and your desires are. Here in church, we are taught how to worship our God. For worship is merely us hearing Him speak to us, and then we repeating it back to Him, that which He has said. Worship together is our praising Him, like we'll soon this morning be singing, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." He told us that He is mighty, and we say it back to Him. And we confess, and Jesus prays for us, and we pray right back at Him. That's worship. Chosen by God, we worship Him. So what are you seeking? The same exact question could be asked of each and one of you. What are you seeking? And what are you seeking as you return time and time again to this, the house of the Lord? I'll not speculate reasons why you're here. That's between you and God. But I know why I'm here, though. I'm here to serve Him who granted me life and salvation. I come to praise Him and Him who created all things. I come bearing my confession that without Him, without God, I'm nothing. I come here because I know my Redeemer lives, and this divine place is, well, it's where I know for sure and for certain I can find my Messiah. Now, to be sure, you can find Jesus in your home. He's with me as I fight traffic out there on 30. He's with me as I go to my son's house, and He's with me every moment of every day. But did you notice the disciples' second question to Jesus? They go, "Where are you staying?" Have you ever heard a pastor tell you that you need to be in church? I think I may have mentioned it a time or two. And in your hearing today from Isaiah, St. Paul, and the apostle whom Jesus loved, you've heard it said that Jesus wants those whom He had chosen to follow Him. And didn't we learn just a short time ago, right after Christmas, that young Jesus, he had gone missing after they'd started going, and his family began to return to Nazareth. They couldn't find him. And after 3 days, his parents found him in the temple. And what did he say to them? "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" What Mary and Joseph didn't understand what he was telling them. His own parents. They didn't get it, or they forgot. "Oh, that's right, you're the Son of God. How can you forget that?" So in your hearing today, the Lord gives you understanding. He gives you grace. God gives you mercy. And he gives you all of this so that you can discern the meaning of his word. Yes, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. It's that simple. It's that easy. Listening to the word of God itself bestows faith in you to believe all that God has done and what God has promised you. Hearing again and again and again the word of God in no way is detrimental to you. It's good for you. And it only stands as an instrument of our Lord's means of grace. It's a method that the Lord uses to give you faith, another gift. It's a gift that God gives you that through his word you would be strengthened and emboldened to carry out his will and bring others to Christ. In my daily devotions, in my prayers, in my preparing to extol to you his own word, I too am bolstered to serve him. He gives me a lot of strength. There's many a Sunday that goes by that I could really stand to stay home in bed, but I don't. Again, in the Gospel of St. John today, especially verse 42, Jesus gives to Simon his name, calls him Peter. "At your baptism, your name is given you by God through your parents. Remember, will you, that the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, telling him what to name his son. Therefore, it is God the Father Almighty who has called you by name and chosen you." So, how wonderful it is that we gather to praise him who set us free, but we also gather in fellowship like like-minded people who've been chosen by God. How amazing that we gather today at the altar of the Lord to partake together of his holy meal for the refreshment of our souls. For it's here, right here, upon this very altar. You will find the true body and blood of Jesus Christ in, with, and under that bread and that wine is Christ himself present for you. Because he's chosen you. Here from this pulpit, may you hear the testimony confirming Christ is among you, that in every way you are enriched in him, in all speech and in all knowledge. I've told you the glad news of your deliverance in this great congregation. The Lord will not restrain his mercy from you, nor will he conceal his steadfast love and faithfulness for you. He who will sustain you to the end, he who will keep you guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful, by whom you were called into this fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, him who has chosen you. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen.